a lot of things that happen in life, and we can take it one way or we can take it another way. We can look at a positive or we can look at a negative. We can half full or half empty, right? Well, today's sermon is talk, it's contagious. And if you're at a football game or something that's going on TV now, and we were watching football games yesterday, and the cheerleaders would come on, and they're going all over the place. And we were watching the Notre Dame game last night, and the of course, we were going for Notre Dame. And the cheerleader of the other team goes, "We're number one." And Jim goes, "No, you're not. You're actually number eight." Yeah, I was listening. But that team right there, if the cheerleaders put that positive message out and gets the crowd and the team thinking we're number one, even though statistically they're ranked number eight, they're going to think that they're number one, and they're going to try really hard, and they're going to go for the goal, and they're going to make it into that end zone, because they're not going to be blocked by someone yelling, "You're just number eight." Like, then they're like, "Oh yeah, we are number eight," and then let Notre Dame win, which is what they did. But I don't know if that has anything to do with that. So we can either have cheerleaders in our lives that tell us, "Hey, you're number one," and we can move forward. Or we can have a naysayer in our life saying, "Oh, you're actually number eight, and you know, you're actually playing a team that's ranked higher than you, so good luck." They're not going to win. And then it stops you from living to your full potential. So talk's contagious, regardless of how it is. Today has been amazing leading up to the sermon, because we've been very positive here today. Pastor Mel has taken everything throughout the whole piece, and we've heard five different sermons, basically. Oh, six now. Sorry. And for those of you keeping count, my apologies. There's six. And she's tasting everything to positive. And even Jamie's children's sermon, which we don't write our sermons together, that just... She actually had a different one prepared, and then when I got the screw in the tire last night, and a lady was nice enough to say, roll down the window and be like, "Hey, your back tire's flat." Jamie's like, "I think I'm going to go with something different tomorrow." Because things just keep happening, and she's like, you know, but we're just, like she said, we just keep going, because we have faith that, you know, God's not trying to just flatten us because we got a screw in the tire. But sometimes something little like that, which is fixable, there's a tire kingdom right around the corner. Well, not right around the corner. We actually had to go. That was a whole nother story. My wife says don't go there. But that screw in the tire could have ruined our whole evening. We're headed out. I actually felt good enough to go out and was only blowing my nose every 30 minutes or so. And so I could be away from the Kleenex for a minute. And we're going out to get some errands done. And that screw in the tire could have ruined the entire evening. And we could have been like, you know what? That's just another thing. Let's just hang it up. Let's just give it up. We've both been sick. We've lost two wallets and an iPod. And a satchel, not a purse. Just FYI, when we replace the satchel, and you see Jamie with it, it is a satchel or a carrying container, not a purse. She's very touchy about that. We did get two screws and two separate cars, and there's no construction in our neighborhood, by the way. There's no building going on. We don't know. Jamie has some construction at work. They're doing something with the strip mall that her job is in, so she might have had hers, but mine, we don't go the same routes to work and whatever. So we had that, and then the whole sewage situation, which is still being resolved. It stinks. Yeah, it stinks. For some of us that went and cleaned it up, others were fine. The satchel bearer, yeah. The satchel bearer didn't go in the backyard with a shovel. But that little screw, it could have been the end of it. And, you know, hopefully, but maybe not, that's the end of our little saga. See, that's the kind of thinking I'm talking about. I wonder what's next. That's the contagious talk I'm talking about. But that screw could have been the end of it. We could have been like, that's the seventh thing that happened if people keep count of things. She does, Mel. Be careful. If you keep count of things, then you're eventually going to hit the bottom because you're going to make yourself hit the bottom. And a lot of us, you know, when you continue to have things to happen, it's like, well, this is the bottom of the barrel. Now I'm at the bottom. And then something else happens. Well, this is at the bottom. I'm at the bottom. Like, nothing's going to get better from here. And then you get mad at the people that say, well, if you're at the bottom, you can only go up. Then you're like, then you want to punch them. You know, you just feel so bad. But talk is contagious. We're going to look at a story in David. Like, we've seen it here in the church. You've seen it over years when you get close with people. Like, all of a sudden, you hear one comment, and you think that things are great and everything, and then somebody says, the church is going downhill. And then it spreads like wildfire. Wildfire. Yeah, I mean, the prairie didn't get built because it didn't spread. Anyway, wildfire goes, and before you know it, it's all the way to the back of the room that the church is going down. And then someone goes, well, why is it going down? I don't know, I just heard that it's going down. And you don't even know why you're in a negative place and why you're thinking something negative. You just heard one thing. Jamie and I were actually watching a movie Friday night called New Year's Eve. I don't know if anybody's seen it. And there's a Michelle Pfeiffer's character is kind of middle-aged white lady, and she just kind of humdrum life, really doesn't let anybody really see her. Her boss is just kind of bad to her, and she has all these hopes and dreams, but she won't do any of them because she doesn't feel that she's worthy enough to do them. And Zac Efron's character comes in, and he's a delivery guy, and he delivers something to her desk, and he's really kind of a cheerful guy in the character in the movie. And he comes up and she's writing something down. He goes, oh, you're writing resolutions? And she's like hides it real quick, like, oh, why are you talking to me? Why is anybody talking to me? You shouldn't talk to me. And the stories unfold where their life intertwines. And basically, she gets the gumption to quit her job and then hires Zac Efron to make all her resolutions come true. And so he goes through them, and she, like, wants to go to Bali. So he takes her to a spa called the Bali Spa, and it looks like Bali when you go in there. And she wants to go travel around the world, so he takes her on a little scooter around something in New York City. It's got the world, like it's a statue of the world, and he takes her around the world. And he does all these cute little things that are, like, accomplishing her thing. But at one point, while she's walking, he took her to miniature town, and she wanted to walk like four neighborhoods of New York in one day, which the four quarters or something. The boroughs. Thank you. That she wanted to walk the four boroughs in one day. So he takes her to miniature land, and there's like a little miniature New York, and she's walking through the boroughs in these little things. And Zach is off on the side talking to his buddy on the cell phone. He's like, yeah, I'm with this lady. She's just a whack or whatever. But, you know, anyway, I got these tickets to go to this thing by doing this thing for her. And you need to come with me. There's going to be all this great stuff. And she just, like, she's out there. She's kind of a loser, but whatever. Like, I got these tickets. Well, Michelle's Pfeiffer character overhears it. And you see throughout the day as she accomplishes her little things that she's always wanted to accomplish and finally has the gumption to do it, it's, like, really cool because you see her person come out. And she was really sheltered, but you see her laughing and you see kind of her personality, which at the beginning of the movie was really sheltered, but she hears that one comment and her whole demeanor drops. And then he's like, okay, well, he's like, walk the burrows, check, let's go to the next thing. And she's like, no, I'm just a whack job. I can't accomplish my goals. Just one sentence that she overheard, and she went completely back in her shell. Like, instantly, you saw it. At the end of the story, Zach steps up and is a good person and ends up intervening with her again and then actually takes her to the big fancy party that he wanted to go to. And but it's interesting that one phrase one word on her demeanor. And that's what happens. It's talk is contagious. So if we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 10, I'll give you a minute to get there. This is when David defeats the Ammonites. And if you don't know much about David with the backstory, Saul was anointed as king, but Saul kind of wanted to run his own show instead of letting God run his show. In a nutshell, it's over many chapters and many verses, but in a nutshell, he wanted to run his own show. So God ends up saying, you know what, you don't want to work with me and let me guide and direct your life, well then I'm going to anoint somebody else. So he anoints King David, and then of course Saul doesn't like that, and he's jealous of David, and so David basically goes in exile and just travels all around and lives in foreign countries and tries not to be captured and killed by Saul. And Saul basically chases him, and he becomes kind of deranged, and he's just focuses on David instead of his kingdom and everything, and it's just this muddled mess. Well, that's important because when we go to this story, during David's exile, he was helped by foreign countries because Israel was behind King Saul, and the Ammonites was one of them. So that's where we kind of pick up the story. Is David is now Saul has passed, and David is in the kingdom. So in the course of time, the king of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun succeeded him as king. David thought, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So at some point during his exile, King Nahash showed kindness to David. And so now David's like, let me show that back. And the Bible doesn't really have it where it goes back. There's one excerpt in 2 Samuel 17, but it seems like after this where Nahash actually feeds the Israels and brings them bedding and stuff. So that's the only reference I could find of what that kindness was. But when I went and did research, they just figured that they helped them along with that. But if you wanted to know some history, that's the only thing I could find, is that King Nahash, at one time when the Israelites were running, he brought bedding and food to them. So back to today there. So David sent a delegation to express his sympathy to Hanun concerning his father. When David's men came to the land of the Ammonite nobles said to Hanun their lord, do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to you to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city and spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun seized David's men, shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their garments in the middle at the buttocks, and sent them away. Now, back in biblical times, if you're a servant of somebody and you have something like that happen to you, that is a direct degradation to you. So by doing that to a servant, they may as well have done it to David. That's how it was interpreted. So basically, that signifies that David was defeated by King Hanun. And the beards back then, it was to show stature. So shaving off half the beard, and it's like that today. When I was in Afghanistan, that was like the worst thing that you could do, was like to shave their hair off. And it just, because that is a thing of stature with their beard. So shaving half of it off and showing like, well, your beard was down to here, but now it's here, like it's showing how much they were degrading them. And then so that's what that symbolized. So that was directly towards David. When David was told about this, he sent messengers to meet the men, for they were greatly humiliated. The king said, stay at Jericho till your beards have grown, and then come back. So it was such a horrible thing back then that he's even like, you know what, don't even come stay with me here. You go over here, get your stuff together, and then come back. Because to have the kingdom see that. So they were even sent away till their beards grow back, and that might take a while. When the Ammonites realized that they had become a stench in David's nostril, they hired 20,000 Aramean foot soldiers from Beth Rahab and Zobah, as well as the king of Maacah, with 1,000 men and also 12,000 men from Tob. On hearing this, David sent Joab out with the entire army of fighting men. The Ammonites came out and drew up in battle formation at the entrance to their city gate. While the Arameans of Zobah and Rahab and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the open country, Joab saw that there were battle lines in front of him and behind him. So he selected some of the best troops in Israel and deployed them against the Arameans. He put the rest of the men under the command of Abishah, his brother, and deployed them against the Ammonites. So wait here, one sentence. Let's back up. Like, here's a big battle now. You've got all these kingdoms going to battle for what, two sentences? Do you think David is honoring your father by sending men to express sympathy? Hasn't David sent them to you to explore the city and spy it out and overthrow it? Two sentences spoken. And now there's a war? And it started with someone trying to do something good for somebody? And then somebody said two negative sentences, and war has broken out. Joab said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you are to come to my rescue. But if the Ammonites are too strong for you, then I will come to rescue you. Be strong, and let us fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his sight." Then Joab and the troops with him advanced to fight the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans were fleeing, they fled before Abishah and went inside the city. So Joab returned from fighting the Ammonites and came to Jerusalem. After the Arameans saw that they had been routed by Israel, they regrouped. Hadazar and had Arameans brought from beyond the river. They went to Halem with Shobak, the commander of Hadazar's army, leading them. When David was told of this, he gathered all Israel, crossed the Jordan, and went to Helam. The Arameans formed their battle lines to meet David and fought against him, but they fled before Israel, and David killed 700 of the charioteers and 40,000 of their foot soldiers. He also struck down Shobak, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the kings who were vassals of Hadazar saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with the Israelites and became subject to them. So the Arameans were afraid to help the Ammonites anymore. 40,000 people plus 700 charioteers wiped out for two sentences. See how talk is contagious? So we have to be so choosy with the words that we say, but it goes back further than that. Because our thoughts are what makes words. Our heart is what makes thoughts. Right? So even if you start thinking things, but you don't say them out loud, you're starting a war in your heart and in your soul. And your actions are going to come out where you shave somebody's half of their beard off. And then if you get to the point where you speak it, I can make this entire room think something negative off of two sentences that I could speak. It's crazy how our words are so influential. And that is the least form of communication. Do you know that? But it's so powerful. I think it's so powerful, Your body languages and actions are the biggest communicators. But I don't remember how somebody acted. But I can replay what they said over and over and over again in my head, huh? And what you hear is a lot different sometimes than what somebody says. A gal was talking to me at work a couple weeks ago, and she was talking to me about her and her boyfriend, and she comes to me a lot to talk to me about things, but she was talking about how she was trying to help him. But she said one negative thing that he does and then said a positive thing afterwards. And all he heard was the negative thing. He just heard her tearing him down and not building him up. And she was basically saying, here's kind of your weakness, but you've got this going for you, so you need to go with this. But all he heard was the negative, and then they ended up getting in a big fight, and it all goes downhill from there. And she's like, and I taught her what Pastor Joyce taught Jamie and I about 4 years ago in couples counseling, was when she taught us that if Jamie says something to me and all of a sudden I freak out, and Jamie's like, then she's supposed to say, what did you hear me say? And then I'll be like, I just heard you say that my hair's ugly. And she'll be like, okay, what I said was, I liked your hair short, However, long is okay too. So I'm happy with what you're doing with your hair. Yeah. This isn't a true story. Everything else is true. But and all I heard was, my hair's okay, so it's ugly. She didn't say great, or she didn't say, you know, I really like how you're trying to do it, you know, getting used to it being long or something, you know, like, and so that's a good tool. And she said that to him, because I taught her to do that, because they get in fights over things like that all the time. She was, what did you hear me say? And he just said the negative thing. She was, did you not hear this? And he goes, when did you say that? Is that amazing how that works? He only heard the one sentence. He only heard the one thing, and then it went all downhill. So, you know, a few Sundays ago, I talked about sowing and reaping and planting those seeds. Our words are seeds. Our actions are seeds. Our communication are seeds. Like, what seed do you want to plant? We talked about what you get from it and everything, but what about when you put it down there? What are you putting down? It's very easy to be planting something and you don't even know it, which is what we talked about then, too, is you don't know when you're helping somebody or when you're not. And I used the example then about hugging Pastor Lisa and what that might do for her, then a bump, and not knowing what that did. You know, so I don't know how that reaction's going to be. I don't know how you're going to take something. So it would be wise of us to really think about what we say and what we do before we do them. But instead, a lot of times, we just shoot off the hip. You hear, oh, did you hear this person decided to do that? You know, I knew she would decide to do that. And then you just go right on with it. We just do. It's kind of human nature. But, you know, that's why God's like, let me guide your life, I think, and not you. Because he knows our human nature. He knows how awful it is sometimes because he created it. So he knows the every flaw. But it's a blessing, too. You can look at human nature, my human nature. But God created that human nature like that so you would have free will, so you would step out in faith and trust and believe in him, and it would be genuine and not because he built you to be perfect all the time. So in Proverbs, it tells us this about your mouth. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. Maybe 40,000 of them. But through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessings of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Now, knowledge and understanding, those two things, it doesn't mean that you need to know everything about anything and read every single book. Knowledge and understanding is having the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ in your heart and the understanding that he's got it. That God's got it. There are lots of times if I stop before I speak and I say, God, help me with what to say, beautiful words come out of my mouth. Some words I didn't even know I knew. It happens there. Like Mel was talking about with ministering. Like you start letting Jesus Christ come through you and you start praying for somebody, sometimes you don't even remember what you said because the Spirit of God just comes through you and has those words. Now, if I spoke what was straight from my mind, it would be a bad world. It wouldn't be good if you knew me. But if you stop and think and then go out, it's a lot better than shooting from the hip. Because we don't have to shoot from the hip because we've got God that'll give us that knowledge and understanding that we need to have in every single moment that we can go to. So, of course, I have a little exercise that we're going to go with. Is everybody familiar with the telephone game where you whisper something in one ear and then you whisper? So we're going to have two games going, one on this side and one on this side. Okay, I'm going to give a message to Pastor Lisa. She's going to kick it off, and it's going to go all the way back. And I'm going to give Jamie a message, and she's going to kick it back on this side. And then we'll get feedback on each side about what you heard and how you feel about it. Okay? Okay, so this will take a moment. So while you're waiting, you can just contemplate on words. Radio people, please just be patient for a second, and I will be revealed once this gets through. You did this in Bible study on Wednesday. See what happens when I'm not there? You guys just play games. Did you even go over anything? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, my substitute teacher playing games. She sent me all these notes that she did. They probably just played Twister. You twisted my words. Good. Good. How's this side of the room feeling so far?
Positive.
Positive? Really? Okay. How's this side of the room feeling so far? Good. Okay. So the message might be okay. Wednesday, you didn't get it right? You're not feeling that great? Okay. They said they're feeling positive. All right, we got four more people to get their message. Okay, we got it. How's this side of the room feel about your message? It's good. You like it. How about in the back? I got weird faces. You don't feel good about it. You don't feel good about the message? You think you got it right? If they're positive, you don't think you got it right? So you don't think it was a good thing for someone to say to you?
No.
Okay. Becky, what was it?
We're as sloppy as Sloppy Joe.
We're as sloppy as a Sloppy Joe. Okay, how about this room? How are you feeling about your message? Do you feel lifted, positive?
Yes.
All right, Lori, what was your message? You're beautiful, I love you. Okay. All right. Okay, so the room. So this room, I said you're as sloppy as a sloppy Joe. So they got it exactly right. This side, I said you are beautiful and loved. And it ended up being you're beautiful and I love you, which I love even more. But how does this room feel being told you're sloppy as a sloppy Joe? Does anybody even know what that means? That taste, it made you hungry. What?
They're missing.
Oh, he's a vegetarian. So. Helene, you were really negative about it. How did it make you feel to be called sloppy as a sloppy Joe?
Not good.
Not good.
Because sloppy Joes are sloppy.
Sloppy Joes are sloppy. Are you sloppy?
No.
No. Okay, good. Anybody else? It's an insult. It's an insult. Okay, Helene wants to know how you guys feel positive about being sloppy as a sloppy Joe.
I was positive that my crew would get it right.
Okay. Okay.
My crew got it right. So I was very positive, and you guys did a fantastic job. Wonderful.
Okay. So Pastor Lisa doesn't care what anybody calls her. She just wants to be right. Want to win. Okay. Not the point I was trying to make, but good. Okay. That's so funny. Okay, anybody else feel anything else being called sloppy as a sloppy Joe? You know you're not sloppy, so.
How did you know?
How did you know? So. Just reject. So you reject what you heard.
Yes.
You know you're not that. Jackie says she's not that. But so you were like, well, I'm not that. You brushed it off. So you have the attitude, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say to me bounces off and sticks to you. But Helene, you took it personally, huh? You didn't just pounce it off. Yeah. See how words do that? I don't even know what sloppy as a sloppy Joe means. I was just sitting there, and God's like, here's a game we're going to play. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to say to the negative people? And he goes, ah, sloppy as a sloppy Joe. I'm like, oh, what is that? Is that even a saying? Did I hear that from something? I don't even know if that's a saying anywhere. But what about you guys being told that you're beautiful and I love you or beautiful and loved?
That was easy to pass on.
It was easy to pass on. Was this hard to pass on?
Yes.
It was hard to pass on. Okay. Yours was easy to pass on. And how do you guys feel like having someone whisper that in your ear?
Beautiful
and loved. Beautiful. Beautiful and loved. Okay, perfect. Anybody feel bad about themselves after hearing that? See what words do? Yeah. Well,
I don't speak honestly for everybody on this side of the group.
No, you don't.
So you don't necessarily, yeah, you do need to feel that way, but even if you didn't necessarily believe that you're beautiful and loved, you felt uplifted by hearing the message. Mm-hmm. Does everybody believe you're sloppy over on this side? But when you heard it...
The one says yes.
Pastor Jordan. But when you heard it, even if you're not a sloppy person, when you heard it, did it make you feel kind of bad? Made you hungry? It's just negative. It's a negative thing. My point is what words do and how it spreads. That's how rumors spread. That's how rumors spread. We don't necessarily whisper in each other's ears. Well, some of you may. I don't know. That's how you talk. But see how quickly that moved. Like, you guys did that pretty quick. I'd say just over a minute, maybe. It went all the way to the back. And you've got one side of the room with kind of mixed feelings over here. And this side of the room is all like, yeah. See, and it goes back to the football analogy I did. That cheerleader saying, we're number one. You know, and building up that choir. Building that choir. Building up that crowd. Even though they were number eight. And maybe they do believe that they're number one, or maybe they don't believe that they're number one, but they were uplifted in the moment to play the game, to live their life. And this side of the room, you guys, as a collective group, you really don't know. Pastor Lisa's just happy because her side got the message right. She's just like, it might have been negative, but by gum golly, we got that message right, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows the negative. Then you've got the toughies. I ain't that. And then my realist back there. You don't tell me that. Makes me feel bad. You get though. You get how a couple words can kill 40,000 people. Figuratively. Do you get the message that God's trying to tell you today? Don likes my hair. Longer or shorter? Either way, it's just beautiful. Oh. Good, because we have at least another year before I chop it off. Sorry, let's go ahead and pray. Get ourselves right to go into communion and then get the deeper message that God has for each and every one of us as you come up individually to be with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are in our lives, Lord, and that you give us guidance and directions, Lord. And I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that from here on out, may we remember to think before we speak, to think before we act. And in that thinking, that means praying to you for what we're supposed to say, praying for you for your guidance, Lord, and stopping when maybe we do hear kind of a negative thing, and stopping and trying to figure out if that is so or not, and letting you guide us and direct us on the outlook of how that should be, Lord. We thank you very much for bringing us together today, Lord, and bringing this message, Lord, and I just pray for each and every one of us that we can come together as a community and help each other stand up and be positive in life, Lord, regardless if bad, good, or indifferent is happening to us, Lord, but we just stay focused on you and the blessings that you bestow upon us and how you will carry us through each and every circumstance. In your precious and glorious name, we love you so. Amen.